that, thank you. I've got a couple of areas I'd like to follow up in the Better Spray documentary and manager offer. I'll start with the Better Spray part 2. Just wondering if you could explain on the 26th of October, Health Ministry had issued a press release saying peer reviewers are seeing individual data before their review to the program Better Spray. Then, on the basis of the assurance by the Ministry of Health that the peer reviewers had received individual data, the Minister, Clint Hodgson, went to the House and misinformed the House, told us in the House that it was wrong to suggest they hadn't received them, and of course he was forced to retract in the House for that. Whose advice was it? Who issued that review saying that the peer reviewers had received the individual data for the review?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Don Medicine is our Deputy Director General of Public Health and we'll be able to speak to this.
We do that soon very quickly.
Thank you, Dr.
Yes, the Ministry had misunderstood the communication between the Ministry and the ESR. ESR, I pointed out, were responsible for doing the study. And the discussion between my staff and our staff, the misunderstanding occurred because we were informed that what had been given to the peer reviewers was anonymised, analysed individual data. And in fact, if you break that down, we understood that to be individual data, but in fact it meant that it was individual data which had been analysed, in other words, grouped. So that was the basis of the misunderstanding, and so the advice we gave to the Minister was incorrect. We realised that advice was incorrect, we have corrected that advice, and the Minister has corrected the advice, but it was our mistake in terms of our understanding of a conversation between us and ESR officials.
How is that possible that that could have been a mistake when your own boss, Dr. Jacobs, the Public Health Director, Dr. Mark Jacobs, had said in a letter to the TV3 team, the local and international reviewers did not receive individual test results contained in Appendix O. So when your boss was saying,
I was just going to clarify that Dr. Matheson is Dr. Jacob's boss.
Sorry, I got the bosses wrong, but anyway.
I think you might have advanced copies of the
Dr. Matheson. Anyway, the point is Dr. Mark Jacobs has unequivocally said international reviewers didn't receive the individual test results, and yet a couple of days later you're putting out a release saying they did. How does that happen in the ministry?
Can I just clarify what Dr. Jacob said? Is that they haven't received Appendix O. Appendix O is a small subset of individualised data. In fact, if members of the committee are interested, I have copies of Appendix O here, which is now in the public arena for your information. So the issues that were raised by TV3 were related specifically to Appendix O, whereas the more general question of did they have access to individualised data was a much broader question, and that's how the misunderstanding, and as I said, there was a misunderstanding in our communication with ESR on that point.
Okay, it wasn't an attempt to sort of play down things. Now, the second thing is who actually proposed Dr. Alan Smith as the Professor Alan Smith? As an independent reviewer to review the accuracy of claims that have been made in the TV3 documentary.
ESR initially decided on independent reviewers. Subsequent to that, the Ministry has been in discussion with the World Health Organization to have another reviewer of international standing in the area of dioxins, so both those are continuing.
But I'm asking who does it says somewhere that the Ministry, I think Mr. Hodgson said, The ministry, I have instructed the ministry to have this report independently reviewed, and I advise that the review will be carried out by Dr. Alan Smith. Is that the ministry's recommendation to the minister?
Well, it's the ministry's report. Oh, sorry, it's ESR's report. And so we had asked the ESR to have it reviewed. So the responsibility for the review,
Who chose the initial review, Dr. Alan Smith?
At the end of the day, the ESR chose it. But we of course, were aware of that, and because he's probably the leading international and certainly the leading New Zealand expert on this area, had considerable confidence in it.
But you, you're putting him up as a genuinely independent expert, but you yourself and Dr. Jacobson both at a conference where he said, this is an excellent report on dioxin, excellent. The only one sentence I object to was a call for an epidemiological study on the health effects, which he didn't think was necessary. Do you think that somebody who's already come out and said that the report was excellent could be seen then and could be then seen to be a totally independent reviewer and would have credibility, for example, with the 22 affected residents?
I believe a leading expert in the field, it's a question of whether you question his professional judgment, and I firmly believe that he is a leading expert in the field. However, in light of public concerns and concerns raised, we have requested the views of an additional reviewer. But I would point out the initial study by ESR actually included peer review by four of the leading experts in this field. So, I mean, it's a very small field,
so
environmental exposure to dioxin.
Someone who has already commented publicly on the report being excellent and has had other associations with this issue in New Zealand is appropriate as an independent expert?
This was a very important study that ESR done, and contrary to public perception, what the ESR study showed was that the residents of Paratutu were exposed to dioxin. So it actually confirmed the community's experience was that they could smell it, etc. And so the significance of the study was for the first time to properly document that residents around that area were exposed. And we also were able to document during which time periods and in which geographical location. As such, that was an important piece of research. And I would be very surprised if there is any expert in this field, of which there's only a small number internationally, who are not aware of this study and who don't have an opinion on it.
You said that it would be ready within 2 weeks. I think that 2 weeks has elapsed.
We're still in negotiation with the WHO recommended reviewer.
And you'll be aware of a public meeting in New Plymouth unanimously said they wouldn't have confidence in any study in which Professor Smith was part of it.
Yes, well, that's why we, in response to those concerns, we have requested and yet an additional reviewer from WHO.
Now, you talked about the importance of the ESR study, and I agree with you, and it documented that the people living in an area near the Ivan Watkinsdale factory were exposed to what was six times the level of the rest of us. What are you proposing to do now for the affected residents?
Well, the first thing that was we were able to identify, you see, when we began working with the Paratutu community, and we worked extensively with them from about the year 2000 on this issue, their initial concern was that there were continuing concerns about dioxin exposure. The study
now the study's established it. Do you propose to offer them free medical and health treatment, for example, blood serum testing for those who wish it, an intergenerational study, which is all of the things that our community is requesting?
What we were able to do with the study is actually clearly identify that population. And I just need to be clear that the population exposed, many of them no longer live in Paratutu. They actually live... And so it is not an issue for the current residents, except for those residents which were exposed from the 1960s to the 1980s in a specific geographical area.
So I'm talking about those.
Yeah,
the those people who were the exposed group, what are you going to do?
That's right, I'm just coming to that. The second issue is that when we look at international studies, the degree of health impact for this community is going to be quite small. In other words, the international studies suggest to us that there is a small increased risk of all cancers for those exposed. Now, we are working on how we respond to that, including looking at the issues of how we may work with those communities, given that that community is now dispersed. There's some of the issues is how do we work in terms of a package of care in the terms of addressing their health concerns and looking at how we can more generally reduce the cancer risks of that group. But I would, I think it is probably important to point out that the degree of impact of this particular exposure is significant. In other words, it's real. However, it's small. For instance, we have not noticed or not been able to detect an increased risk of cancers in that area.
So basically, at the moment, you're doing nothing, I take it, from your answer, that you're not offering specific medical, free medical care to the residents who were the only exposed period.
That's not correct. We are looking at what would be an appropriate package of care for those communities. The degree of difficulty, though, I would point out, is that we're talking about one small factor of risk. If you take it from the individual's point of view, it is extremely small in terms of compared with risks related to tobacco. Or, I mean, one in three of us die of cancer, from not anything related to these issues.
Yeah.
So how we structure such a support package for what is a small risk in a widely dispersed population is challenging us in terms of what would be a good mechanism to do that. However, our commitment is to continue to follow this community, particularly now having defined the exposed community, and look to see what are appropriate actions for us to take in terms of supporting those individuals.
My final question would be, if you do acknowledge that those residents were exposed to a toxic environment.
Yes.
You do. And that the Ministry of Health and indeed successive governments contributed to that situation, the toxic environment they were exposed to.
I'm not quite sure what the second statement refers to, but the whole point of the study was to identify was there an exposed population, and we have done that.
And yes, they were exposed to a toxic environment.
And our second issue is to continue to work with those communities, or that community which I said is no longer geographical, as to what would be an appropriate assistance to them. And we are working on that and will attempt to address that issue.
Harry, did you want to ask
that? I want to just go back to something that you asked very early in your questioning on this topic, and that was, and Dr. Matheson may well know the answer to this, the grouping of people in the study as to what years they were actually living there is vitally important to the amount of exposure they had. And there have been allegations made, and as Hedgley alluded to it earlier on, that some of these people have been grouped with the wrong era, if you like. They've been moved from one group to another. Are you confident that the ESR officials who have been involved in the study have got all of the people in the correct groups for the correct years, so that the exposures that they had actually have fallen in the correct years, so that we haven't had a distorted averaging process happening here?
I would go back to my original point. Before we did this study, there was broad concern in the whole Paratutu community as to who was exposed, was exposure continuing. The significance of the study was to clearly identify that yes, exposure had occurred, and that was confined to a certain time period and a certain geographical location to the plant. The issue that's being raised is within, so that was the reason for the study. Any debate about whether someone's exposure was in different categories is interesting, but it doesn't actually challenge the fundamental finding of the study.
The allegation is that by moving particular individuals who may have had a very high test and a very high level of exposure, therefore, to a different era, has altered the averages over the study.
That's what the allegation is, but it doesn't change the findings, which is that there was a group of people who had a statistically higher level of exposure in relationship to the plant. Now, the point of these reviews, etc., is to get the issues that's been raised by a forensic accountant on a complex epidemiological study. We'll get those looked at. I mean, obviously, I have confidence in the study. I think it's been done well. It is quite a sophisticated study. It has been peer-reviewed by the best experts in the world. We will continue to do that. However, my understanding that is that even if these allegations were, or even if these concerns that have been raised were substantiated, it doesn't actually change the fundamental findings of the study, which remain. And whether it's times three or times four is interesting, but it doesn't actually change either what we should do or the impact for that community. And I think the other point I'd make is that I don't think at the individual level concern about blood tests is the relevant thing. From my understanding of it, we should treat that as an exposed community rather than, because I think the science relating to an individual's blood level is really not that informative. It doesn't actually tell an individual anything.
So